Hello, this is Marigold Manor. I will discuss things that have to do with the novel, Marigold Manor, to hopefully understand it better, be able to write it better. Today I'm gonna discuss the first version of Jordan Laurentia's life, because as we've already established, there are two versions. One of them is the version from the novel itself, which is in like the 70s, the 60s. That's like she's born in 1960, so then. And the second version is the version that I've developed lately, where I kind of decided to maybe headcanon her being born in the early 20th century, well, late 19th century, but then like her entire like story plot life takes place in the early 20th century. And I did this because of like my late interest in that time period, and also because a lot of things that didn't align up to me in the first version would perhaps align here. So this is the first part I'm gonna do about Jordan Laurentia's life, of which the second part will be the real novel life that she's gonna have. I think she's a really interesting character to talk about in this sense, out of all the characters in that novel, including Tyrell, that she has a really rich life, with a lot of like twists and interests, and I tried to do my best to develop that as well as much as possible, in this version of her life. So yeah, I'll head into it. Jordan Laurentia, no middle name, is born on the 23rd of March in 1890 in Los Angeles, in America. Her family, the Laurentia family, is a very strict Catholic family. Her father is Robert Laurentia. He works at a local church as a bishop. He's a very kind of cold and distant figure in the household, as some kind of like intimidating threat that just looms over Jordan and her brother for the first few years of their life. They also presumably told each other stories about their dad and his life, and he was mainly just a scary, let's say, fairy tale to them, more than a father figure. Her mother was Margaret Laurentia, born Margaret Thomas. She was very strictly religious, very conventional, by the book, as you call it. She was a hater of literature, of art, of everything that probably expressed human individuality. She thought it went against God. She was a very obedient person as well. She wasn't a big prominent figure in town. I think most people wouldn't really have liked her. If I can maybe like add my own opinion to it, she seems like a very rigid person, who isn't like nice or fun to be around, and that really contradicts actually her importance and her love for like a good reputation, which is kind of like a weird paradox, because she wasn't really a liked figure, yet she really cared about what people thought about her, is what I think. She was also very controlling of her children, which is really important to note, especially regarding the fact that Samuel went the way he did, maybe the way Jordan did as well, I don't know. But especially with Samuel, you can see that like her will to control him made him to be even more rebellious than he would have been if she'd have just let him do whatever. So I've mentioned Samuel a couple of times. That is Jordan's brother. He was born on the 5th of September, 1896. No, I'm saying that, 1886. He was about 3.5 years older than Jordan, and so inevitably a role model for her, a very prominent figure in her life in general, the causer to all of her problems, you could say. He's a very charming boy. Ever since he was a little boy, he was very charming, very outspoken, well-spoken. He knows how to talk to people to get them to like him, to kind of fall in love with him. And he does that from a very young age. Like he's a really a boy of words, a boy of like, yeah. Maybe it has to do with his character. Maybe it has to do also later in his life with the people he surrounds himself with. But in general, he's this very like flamboyant, full of life, Oscar Wilde type of boy. Regularly misbehaves as well, which is kind of a weird thing, I think, back then, because he was very good at school, academically acquired boy. He got good grades. His teachers, I don't know if I can tell if they liked him or not. I know for certain that his mom really despised him most of her and his life together. He just didn't obey her whatsoever, didn't really care about rules, and generally just kind of lived out of spite. And maybe that's the reason he did so well at school. People, especially his mom, his family, told him he wouldn't succeed, he was a failure, he was a disappointment, and at school he just went to school and just like shined, and he was in general a very like popular figure at school, which I think school kind of, although it was some form of like imprisonment of his soul, it was also like the place he could actually express himself the best. So that's Samuel for you for now. In September 1896, Jordan also goes to school. She's 6 at the time. She's genuinely seen as a very imaginative kid. I think also this is of course Samuel's influence, because her mother didn't really stimulate her imaginativeness, is that a word, as a child. So Samuel is her role model. He tells her a lot of stories. He reads to her. And so she goes to school. She's a very imaginative kid. She learns reading very quickly. She makes some friends. I don't think she's very special in that sense, aside of like her very quick learning that she has, and that is very quickly acquired when getting to know her. I think aside of that, she's just your average girl in school. She's 6 year old at the time. But 2 years later, when she's 8, in September 1898, Jordan's mother decides to take her out of school and start giving her homeschooling. I think she did this because she kind of realized that Jordan was getting too liberal. Well, not liberal. She was too free, I think, in her school life. She had some outside influence, which her mother didn't really appreciate. It didn't like add up with her indoctrination of Jordan. So I think mainly that's the reason. I think that she also kind of missed the religious part of education, and she wanted Jordan to learn this. So for the next few years, reading was prohibited, and Jordan learned a lot of like lady things, I think, for that time. At least they were c considered lady things. Although what added a really beautiful contrast to her life back then, well, at least in the times she had to stay home and not do anything, not go outside, was that Samuel did continue his education, and he excelled at most classes. He excelled at school. He was at that time already quite the charming boy. He had like an image in town, I think, as well, as being some kind of like outsider to the Laurentia family, because they were also conforming, and he was the opposite of that. And people, I think, either really appreciated it or really hated it, because although a lot of people were really charmed by him, I also think a lot of people were repulsed by it. A lot of people didn't really appreciate it, especially because they lived in this very close church community of people who also were very conformative and religious. And he basically defied all of that, even like at the age of like 13, 14, 15. He was like this really flamboyant living individual intellectual figure, which made him very outstanding very extraordinary. And he did continue his education, so Jordan did have an outlet, did have a conversation partner. And he taught her a lot of things that he learned at school. He would like come home from school and she would wait for him, and he would teach her things that he learned about everything, actually. And that's how she acquired a lot of knowledge over the years, even though she didn't really have any other access to knowledge. So she kind of like depended on him, which I also think you can see how impressionable that makes her. She's like, what, 10 at that time. And Samuel is her older brother. He knows things. He's very charming and special. And she's a very impressionable young girl. Aside of her mother, she hasn't really had any like big influence in her life. So Samuel's a really important figure for her, and she really loves him, and she's really devoted to him as well. So yeah, and one of the things that really stand out with Samuel is that he stopped going to church, which was I guess kind of like a breaking point from Jordan as well, because she grows kind of like up to be very torn between this this like new intellectual exciting world that Samuel teaches her and her thirst for knowledge, and also her life as an avid Catholic girl. Because I think despite her kind of already growing disdain for her mother, she still like takes refuge and takes support in religion, and it's really prominent in her life. She loves religion, she believes in God, she generally really connects to Christianity, even as a child. So it's I think difficult for her to combine these two worlds of the world of Samuel and the world of her family, of her Christianity, of her belief, her religion, together. So I think that's difficult. She also doesn't really have a lot of outside perspective on things because she doesn't really leave her town, and yeah. So she has very limited a point of view on life and on things. Socially, this also poses a problem because obviously she doesn't really have a lot of like platforms where she can meet other people aside of Samuel, her mother. Father, maybe, although he was distant, as I said before. At some point when she's like 14-ish, the neighbor girl joins into her classes. The neighbors have also decided to give her homeschooling, and she joins Jordan in her classes. Her name's Elizabeth, and they become very good friends, like as good of friends as they can be. They have classes together, and they're like 15 at the time where I think Jordan kind of starts realizing that she's really fond of this girl. And I think that's I would say that's the first time that she really questions her sexuality, not in the terms of sexuality back then. She just like senses this peculiar like fondness. I think she also like kind of brushes it off as friendship because she hasn't really had any profound friendships back in the days. So she writes poetry about her. She starts writing poetry about her when they're 16, which was later found in her notebooks. She didn't really show it to anyone, not even to Samuel. Although I do think that Samuel would have approved of it, of course. He would have like I guess guided her through it, but she decided to keep this to herself. It was her very own secret. She was not ashamed of it because she really didn't know what it was yet, but she did kind of realize like, oh, I'm really fond of this person, but I shouldn't be, so I will keep this to myself. I think that was kind of like her. I also don't think she knew why exactly she shouldn't really like someone like that. I don't know to what extent these feelings were romantic, because I also believe that Elizabeth wasn't really into her. Like, not really. I'm gonna say she wasn't into her at all. They were friends, you know. Yeah, they were friends, and Jordan wrote poetry about her, and I think that's where it ended for them. And then we get to a really important point in both Jordan and Samuel's life. When Jordan is about 15, going on 16, Samuel is 18, and he joins this so-called network. This network is a criminal network, like an underground gang thing, if I can call it that. He's just very, very intelligent, and he wants to put this to use. He wants to defy everything that society has told him to actually conform to before. And I think that's also his kind of like goal in life, to defy this conformity, to be, as Nietzsche would say, the lion, to say no to everything that society has put onto him. I think that's his mission in life. He lives out of spite, to put it simply. So he joins this network, about which he writes to Jordan in his letters. He doesn't spend much time at home anymore. He only maybe comes back to visit Jordan in town for like every once in a while, but he never really goes back home after this. Because he really hates his mom, his dad, everything about this town he wants to forget, although he really loves Jordan. So that's his anchor kind of in the town. Most importantly, this is a turning point in his life, because that's when he meets our dear beloved Tyrell Sullivan. Tyrell's also 18 at that time. He's been in this network for ever. His parents have been in the network. They've died for the network. So Tyrell Sullivan is really this like figure of network. Yeah, he's a figure of network. He lives there. He's devoted his life to it. He has no life outside of it. So he's in the network, and they meet. And I think what connects them at first really is their intellectual connection. They have like a really, really profound bond of intelligence, in which they can like discuss a lot of things, discuss things that aren't usually discussed in society, books, I don't know, like art, in a very like aesthetic, hedonistic kind of way that's very frowned upon in that time, back in that time. And they grow to have this really close relationship that's kind of based upon this shared intellect of them that they have, this shared dare I say pretentiousness of this time that they live in. They also, at some point, I think, kind of develop, I wouldn't call it feelings, but they develop a romantic relationship. They are basically each other's in that sense. As much as you can call it love, I don't think you can. I think it's very easy to look at Tyrell's life and see that he never felt anything that's incredibly profound romantically toward anyone. But he really loves Samuel in the sense that he appreciates him, and they both just utilize this relationship to get the most out of it in other senses as well. So they're very close, and they really appreciate each other, and this is a very big turning point in Samuel's life, because this guy, this Tyrell guy, is the most important man or person in his life, aside of Jordan. But this isn't about Samuel, it's about Jordan, so let's get back to her. This is important for Jordan, because when Samuel gets back, when Samuel writes to her, when Samuel tells her things about the network, of course he rambles on and on about his boyfriend, Tyrell. Jordan learns a lot of things about Tyrell, which are very important for later, of course, inside of the Marigold Manor, but also in general. I think this is a very big thing, because it kind of normalizes sexuality for her. Samuel tells her a lot of things of this like romantic nature about Tyrell, about his love for Tyrell, and about the things they do. I mean, I don't think he's gonna like describe to his sister like all of the sexual relationships that he has with Tyrell, but I also do think that like he talks about like a love of romantic nature toward a boy. I think that's really important because it kind of would have shown Jordan that it's an okay thing to feel. It's a good thing to feel. He puts it in a very beautiful light. Samuel's also a very good writer, so he knows how to describe it in a way that really makes it seem like the greatest thing on earth. And I think that's really important to Jordan's story. Maybe to later, it really normalizes this sexuality thing for her. And then something that's less like good, I guess, in Jordan's life right now. She's 18 at this point, and her parents see that she's not interested in any romance, in any people. I guess it's funny because they never really gave her the chance, but now her mom is suddenly, I guess she sees all the other town girls, probably Elizabeth, getting like married, getting like, I don't know, engaged, whatever. And she again cares a lot about this reputation, so she goes, "Jordan, you need to get married." And so she sets her up with a lot of like, I don't know, dinners and stuff like that, which all I guess fails. She writes to Samuel a letter, well, several letters throughout the course of the year 1908. But in one particular letter, she writes, quote, "I feel that the problem of love haunts me and will forever continue to do so for as long as I shall live," unquote. And I think this shows her kind of like struggle within. I don't think she really cared about it that much, about marriage, until her mom started pushing it onto her, and then she kind of realized that she really doesn't feel what she's supposed to, especially when she has all of those like kind of like heroines from her literature stories that she reads, I guess, secretly. And she has all of those like stories about love and about profound, love, and she just doesn't get it, I guess. Like, and the only reference I think she has in which she's felt this thing before was like in a very, I guess, nuanced and very implicit way, was when she was with Elizabeth, and she was really fond of Elizabeth. And so she is very puzzling and unsure about her sexuality. I think she really does not realize what's going on yet. What's going on? To put it that. And at this point, it's the year 1908, and Samuel gets accepted into Oxford. This is mainly, I guess, he didn't really want to go to Oxford initially. He was just like, "Oh yeah, I need an excuse to go to England for his network." And then he was like, "Oh yeah, if I tell them I got accepted into Oxford, I can do that." So he actually went and got accepted, like maybe out of spite, because he could do that. He got accepted. He was a very cool academic boy, and we are proud of him. He gets an excuse to travel to Oxford, but now the only problem is he actually needs to go to Oxford. And Jordan is like, he tells this to her, and Jordan is like, "Hey, why would you waste this opportunity that you have to be in Oxford, if you're gonna go to the network anyway? Like, let me do that instead of you." And then she actually plans to transform herself into a second version of Samuel. She cuts her hair, all of that. And she decides to travel to England with him. I think like the transformation takes place after they go to England, of course, because, you know, her mom is still there. She still needs to kind of like, to make this like impression of this like conforming little girl who doesn't think at all. And so she convinces her mom to go to England with Samuel, I guess kind of to like take care of him or whatever. I don't know what excuse she used, but she goes to England with Samuel. At this point, they already like have this plan developed, and they know what's gonna happen. They also know that it's the last time they're gonna see their parents. They know it's the last time they're gonna, really care, and see be in their hometown, basically. So they go to England, and in England, Jordan meets Clifford Crowell in August 1908. This isn't really an important thing. She just like this is this boy, man, guy, young man, I don't know, who is the son of friends of like Samuel's, well not friends but like some couple whom he probably really impressed and stuff, and they were invited to dinner, and so so he's not really important in any way to Jordan's life aside of the fact that she uses his name to say to her mother, "Mom, I am getting married." So, so she meets him in August, and then she writes a letter to her mom, telling her about this marriage with Clifford. She's like, "Yeah, Mom, I met this boy, I'm getting married." And I guess she thinks her mom will believe her because she's so desperate for Jordan to get married that she's just like, "Oh my God, yes, finally." So she writes to her mom a letter in August 1908. Where she says, quote, "The problem of love was not with me, but with the men I have met until now. None of them have charmed me like Clifford, and I am certain no one ever will," end quote. I think she formulated it this way because her mom was aware of the problem she had with love, and I think she thought it would make her very happy, so to speak. So Jordan starts at Oxford in September 1908. So Samuel, in between like their travel to England and the start of Jordan in Oxford, he teaches her so many things. Like in such a short span of time, she learns Latin, she learns other languages, she learns like history, math, whatever, so many things, so that she'll be able to like excel at this academia. So she's learned to like imitate him. They've been spending a really long time together, seeing mostly each other. So she knows how to imitate him, I guess, kind of. She's very good at it too. She's a great actress, actually. Actually, haha, get it? Yeah. I need to move on. So she quickly makes friends with this like group of very smart boys. Smart young men who love like literature and history, and they're all really charmed by her, well, him as Samuel. They're all really charmed by her. They all really love her and appreciate her, and she's doing a really good job, I think. Like, she's very strong in academic stuff. She's an excellent student, and she's also, yeah, very charming. I guess she got that from Samuel, and people love her. That's the point. People really love her. And so she spends a few months there, and then something very important happens, and that is she meets this girl who goes to a Catholic school, which is I guess like next to Oxford or something. I don't know. They meet a group of girls, like the group of boys and Jordan as Samuel meet a group of girls. And they become friends. They join their little clubs and they become friends. And in this group, there is this girl called Diane Connor. They meet in November 1908, and Diane thinks that Jordan's a boy, of course. And they meet a lot after that. Like they have like meetings. They have they hang out quite a lot, and they fall in love really quickly. And Jordan first feels the fondness and the beauty of this love described in all of the novels she's ever read, and also in what Samuel describes as his love for Tyrell. And she's not afraid of this at all, despite like everything she's ever learned. It's so beautiful and so strong and profound that I guess she just thinks, whoa, this couldn't be wrong. Like, no way this is wrong. I love Diane, and she loves Diane. So it's they fall in love quickly. Diane also is really charmed by Jordan as Samuel, and she also really falls in love with her very quickly. They have a really passionate affair that also inspires a lot of Jordan's poetry. Yeah, she writes poetry, which I think is really notable, like to think about the fact that that Jordan wrote poetry at first when she started feeling this thing for this other girl, and now she started writing poetry again because of Diane. So a really prominent thing in her poetry is girls. Basically, there you have it, your new Sappho. And Diane really loves her, but then she finds out that Jordan's actually a girl. She finds this in the spring of like 1909. She doesn't mind. Actually, like it is kind of a shock, I'd say, but then she's like, you know what? I love you, and I guess it only strengthens the relationship because now they're sharing this secret between them, and it's actually also really fun to watch them in public just behave like a normal like boy girl couple, and then that they themselves know that that's like far from what actually is going on. I think they both find like I guess humor in that, and they love each other so much. They really do. But then what happens is their mother visits, Samuel and Jordan's mother, for the first time. I guess they were kind of sure that she wouldn't actually like visit them at all, that she wouldn't really like that. Basically, they thought, I think, that she would forget them, and she didn't. So this is the mother's first time, Margaret's first time out of her own town, and she's very frightened, I guess, as a woman alone to travel in England. So she meets up with the Crowells, because of course she wants to see her daughter, and Clifford Crowell is her daughter's husband by now. I guess she thinks they're already married, and she finds out that they never got married, and Crowell is like, hey, I haven't seen your daughter since like last year. So this is like, this makes her go like, what the hell? Where's my daughter? And she has no idea how to trace back to her. She doesn't know what's going on, and she doesn't know where Samuel is either. So basically she's kind of lost now. She I guess she has like this short try to find out where they are, but it doesn't really succeed because there's no actual like records of Jordan ever being in London because she started being Samuel as soon as they landed. So basically the only thing that she has is Samuel being in Oxford. And during this time, Jordan publishes her thesis about women's rights, which is very critically praised but also highly controversial. But it's very great because like she kind of feels like this like genius who can like in between the system like slither her own great feminist opinions into everything, and she writes about this in the aspect of women's sexuality and self-expression in their sexuality, being yeah, women also feel like sexuality and not just men, and it's very controversial, basically. But she's very acclaimed for it, especially because she's a boy and she has a lot of influence. So she uses the influence well. I mean, I'll give her that. She's amazing. And then it's all great until Samuel burns down their church. And this is when her mom is still looking for them. So she's in London, and she reads in the newspaper that Samuel burns down a church. And Samuel's taken away, but then like they're like, "Hey, what the hell? This is Samuel." Like in the university, they're like, "Hey, Jordan, you're Samuel. What is this? This person took your identity. And this is when her friends and the people in the university, and then eventually her mom, find out about her real identity. And that's the end of her happy life, I guess, if I can call it that. She is sent by her mother to a conversion therapy camp in January 1911. She spends about like a year there, and it's very horrifying. Her brain is thoroughly damaged. She's stopped reading, being able to read, perhaps. They kind of like indoctrinated her every cell. At first, she was really resistant, actually, if I can praise her for that. I guess it was really difficult for her, and especially with Diane. Diane, by the way, wasn't sent anywhere. I guess she kind of managed to get away from that. Kind of managed to, because Jordan was the one who did all that shit, and Diane was basically like a side note character. But they didn't really have proof that it was her that Jordan was having all those affairs with. They didn't have proof that Jordan was writing this poetry about her particularly, but just about women. They didn't have proof of anything that related to Diane. And I guess Diane was very upset about it, but she chose to let it go, not to find Jordan again. Although I guess she was very upset about it, and Jordan kept writing her letters, which is very important. But at some point, she stopped. She couldn't do it anymore. She was indoctrinated. So after a year, she exhibits, I guess, phenomenally good behavior at the clinic, and she's sent back home. She's very distraught. She's very angry at Samuel. And Samuel, is the only person in London who is still there for her. So of course, he wants to make sure that she's okay. So they meet up, and she kills him in July 1911. She kills Samuel, and this is when the entire plot of Marygold Manor begins. She kills Samuel, and then basically, they find out, and she doesn't remember. And that inevitably leads up to her being taken to the Marygold Manor. And I'm gonna stop up until this point because the plot of Marygold Manor is clear to all of you. I think this was a really interesting thing to look at, Jordan's life, because especially in this version of the early 20th century, because I think that a lot of Jordan's character in my initial draft wasn't like she like especially when I look at the first draft, like the very first draft, she was meant to be this very very outspoken feminist, like speaks her mind kind of type of girl. And I think that the choice I made of putting her into this society that doesn't let her actually like be all the any of those things that I initially made her out to be, causes her so much, it causes so much change in her own character that I think it doesn't ruin her character, because I think it makes her a lot more interesting, but it certainly interferes with the way her life goes and the way she acts, especially in Marygold Manor as well. Like, you can see that she's, I guess, a lot more suppressed and a lot more quiet. She doesn't really let her ideas speak out. I do think that there's a lot of glances in Marygold Manor where you can see her as the person she really is. But I think that's also because she knows that here she's very far away from home, although she doesn't really know, I think, where exactly she is. But yeah, she basically turns insane because of this societal pressure to be everything that's opposite from the person she was born to be. Like, I believe that if she were born in our century, if she were born into my family, for example, or whatever, she'd have been so much different, and her personality would have been so much stronger. And I think that's a really nice contrast, because you know how different she would have turned out So this was the first version of Jordan for you. I'll do the other one, I guess when I find the energy to outline it. And I also want to do Tyrell, of course. And other things I will be dealing with is Damien's character, and also the entirety of Polites, because I will never actually write that book, so I may as well just talk about it. So this has been it for today, and I'll see you next time.